Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live with MJ, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the greatest names in sports, entertainment, food, and lifestyle, as well as philanthropy. For those of you who are first-time listeners, my name is MJ, and I am also the president and founder of Inter Public Relations, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Gina Mason. Hello, Gina. How are you?
I'm great. MJ, how are you?
Great. Well, as you know, today we have a very special guest, Mr. Mike Puma, who is the founder of the Gothenburg Social Club. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us, MJ.
Our pleasure. You know, I just have to share this with you before this interview starts. But Gina and I are so excited to have you on today. And she said, why are you so excited and so nervous? You know, we have all these great, you know, sports athletes on the show and big philanthropists. And I'm like, but it's Mike Puma.
You're way too kind. I also have one of our cohorts, George Tapanikas, on the phone with us as well. I figure we get two of the guys from the Burger Club here with us.
Hey, that's great. George, thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you guys?
You won't be as excited about or nervous about me being on the phone.
She's even more excited now.
Yeah. Now I'm even more nervous and more excited.
Two for the price of one. You weren't expecting that.
There you go. And thank you, guys. We truly thank you for making the time. So first I want to start, how was your summer?
Summer was good. Went by fast. We had a lot of burgers, a lot of good time. It was actually pretty hot, though. Eating burgers and drinking bourbon in the heat sometimes, you know, it gets to you.
You know, that sounds really rough.
It's tough life.
Yeah, well, it gives a whole new meaning to meat sweats.
That's pretty funny. So do you want to go ahead and share with our listeners a little bit of your background, and then we can go ahead?
Sure. Well, I started this club a couple of years ago, kind of off an article that came out about the 12 best burgers in New York City. And I had put something out on Facebook at the time. It wasn't even on Instagram at that time. And kind of said, who would want to do one of these a month? And then I had a huge response. And I realized, all right, let's document this somehow. Figuring it would just be for our own, you know, interests. And from our first meeting, we had 16 guys join. And we had a great response on Instagram from people asking, how do I sign up for your newsletter? To how do I join? And I realized, okay, this is going to be interesting. You know, this could go somewhere with this. And, you know, from there, the response has just been absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. We now have over 32,000 followers on Instagram. We get calls from every major restaurant, big and small, in New York City to come try their burgers, as well as requests from all the way out to L.A. You know, asking if I'm ever going to be in town. We'd love to, you know, host you and have you try our burgers.
I actually had a client say to me, one of my restaurant clients, he said, would this burger pass the test of the Gothenburg Social Club? And I'm like, you know about those guys? And he said, do you know who President Obama is? I'm like, okay, point well taken. So, Mike, you've certainly done a great
job.
It's
very, very flattering. I love people that, you know, have great responses that, you know, go to our recommendations. I've gotten some great emails and messages on Instagram from people who have said, you know, your reviews are spot on. We love that place. We didn't like that place. You know, thanks for pointing us in the right direction. We get a lot of people that travel from overseas that are coming to New York and say, you know, give us your top three or four or five burger places. We want to try and hit them. And they'll tag them when they get back in and show us all the different places they ate at and thank us for the recommendations. So it's a lot of fun interacting with people, as well as interacting and working with the chefs in New York City. You know, a lot of people bring us in to help craft some of their burgers, change them, tell us what can we do different, and they look for that criticism. You know, we could talk to them one-on-one and say, you know, get rid of this bun, add this, do this different, and they listen, and hopefully it's a better burger at the end of the day.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the other thing that's nice about the club is that we go as a group, and everyone gets their own rating. So we hand out rating cards after we eat, so everyone has their own palette, everyone's making a decision, so you're getting an average from 15 people as opposed to certain people that just walk into a restaurant, it's one person, they eat their food and say, hey, this was good or this was bad, but you know, when you get an average of 15 guys, I think you're getting a better feel of if it was a good burger or not.
Now, do you guys, I'm sure, you know, having 15 different palates, do you have anybody who is severely severely disagrees. So, Mike, if you think, oh, my God, this is one of the best burgers that I've ever had.
Yeah, we encounter that. You know, sometimes it's a matter of the temperature of the burger, which I'll look, okay, if everybody's was overcooked, then there's a flaw. If one or two got overcooked, then I'll say, okay, well, they had to prepare 15 burgers. Some of these places are small. It's tough. You know, they are prepared for us, but I know in any kitchen, getting 15 burgers prepared correctly can be tough. But, you know, their ratings go in, and we take everything into consideration. And, you know, we try and be as fair and honest as we can be.
So how do you basically – how does your rating system work? So is it a number system?
Number system based on four different criteria, the patty itself, the bun, the toppings, and the fries. And then I will take an average of everybody, put it down, and again, sometimes it does sway. Sometimes you'll see nines on the card and the same burger, somebody gave it a six. So that's the nice thing is, you know, you're going to get a nice average weighting, and you'll know what you're getting when you go in there. You'll see our review. You'll see a picture basically taken from our cell phone. So there's nothing doctored up. There's no fancy lighting. There's no food styling going on. What you see, what we post, is what you could expect to get when you go to these restaurants.
Awesome.
I have to say, though, you guys are pretty good at taking food photos for Instagram. So do you have any tips that you would share for, or you can share with
lighting.
Our
lighting is the only thing that I could tell you. If you can get natural light. Now, some people look at us a little strange, and George is very good at this, taking his burger outside and getting a picture of it. Sometimes it can get a little sloppy, but it's what we need to do to get a good picture. We'll do that.
Don't be shy. Just walk through and drip grease right through the whole restaurant. They love that.
The other thing, don't be afraid to have somebody hold up a light rather than using your flash. There's another little tip I'll give you. The flash will wash it out. If you've got light on it and you cannot use the flash, you'll get a better picture as well.
There you go. So anyone that's listening that wants to make some food porn, there's some tips.
Yeah, we're good at food porn.
Yes, you guys are. And wait, so how often are you guys meeting now? Because I feel like, you know, MJ and I are avid followers on your Instagram, and I feel like you guys are posting new burgers at least a couple times a week. So what do you guys got now?
Yeah, so there's officially once a month that we meet up, the second Tuesday of each month. I picked Tuesday night for a couple of reasons. Part of the reason to get this club together was to rate burgers. We all love burgers. But another facet of it was to get my buddies together once a month. As we get a little older, who has children, who's moved out of the city, it's tougher to get people together, and we've all been there, you know. Call me next week, we'll get together. That week turns into 2 weeks, turns into 2 months, and you don't see each other, you know, for 6 months. So this way, now everybody knows every month we're getting together, and now everybody's excited about it, and they really look forward to it. And I like Tuesdays because it's a quiet night for restaurants, too. I want to be fair to the restaurants we're going in. You know, getting a table in Manhattan sometimes for two people can be tough. Trying to get a table for 15 guys, not always easy. But so officially, as a group, we do once a month. But because we have grown, and I'm really flattered by all the publicity and the notoriety, we're getting requests to come into a lot of places. So I'll send some guys out to a new opening or to go review something, and we'll post content in between. Because if we only posted once a month, our page would probably get pretty boring. But we don't do official reviews on those posts in between. But we'll give people a feel if we liked it or we didn't like it, but there'll be no numerical rating on it. For example, last night, three of us went out to a new burger place out in Long Island City. That was absolutely fantastic. Guys doing some great stuff, really innovative, different flavors. And we posted pictures of them. We talked about them. But, it wasn't all 15 guys.
Right. I have to say, we have a few emails that are coming through, and we have Mike from Los Angeles. He wants to know, he's moving back here in October. Are you able to have any others join your club?
Yeah, I would love to. That's probably the hardest part of this club is not bringing new people in, and not because we don't want to. When I have room for events, and some people we've met, you know, there's only been a few that we brought in from the outside that weren't, you know, kind of original members and original friends of mine or coworkers that I've known for years. It's just at 15, we're kind of capped. So if we do events where we can open up to the public and bring some people in, I absolutely love meeting people. But yeah, for new members, it's very tough. It can only be so big.
So we have Liz from New Jersey who's asking, would you consider one female? I think I know your answer to that, but I'm going to let you answer, Mike.
I mean, I'll give her the same answer I give to my wife if she wants to hear it. the reality is, if we were going to have a female, it would probably be one of our wives. They would enjoy, you know. But they know that this is just my friends, and it's time for us to hang out. We are flattered that women would like to join us for burgers and hang out with us. Trust me. If we were probably a bunch of single guys, it would be more women in there.
But if I
let her in, I'm going to upset a lot of other women who have asked to be in there.
Correct. Because if it was just Puma and I in the burger club, there would be 13 women and 2 men.
Well, she has to make a pass to be a favorite injured PR girl. That's true.
Yeah.
So one night we're going to come have burgers for you. The girl who
we've had burgers with some women. No women have actually officially joined one of our monthly meetings, but we have been out there. You know, obviously, as you know, a lot of PR is driven by women. So
right.
we've enjoyed many of good meal with them.
Well, that's great. So we have another question.
All right. So we have Joanna. She emailed in a question wanting to know, what is your favorite veggie burger? Is it Superiority Burger, and what kind of beer would you pair with that veggie burger?
I think a veggie burger kind of, in my opinion, goes with something light. And, yeah, I think Superiority Burger is probably your best veggie burger in the city right now. Behind that might be Chloe. But, yeah, I'd go with a lighter beer on that one. But it also depends on maybe what the veggie burger. I've had veggie burgers that I've absolutely hated. I've had ones that are very deep fried. They all depends.
Are you allowed to share with us your best burger to date and where was it served?
I think right now.
I'll
give you, rather than saying our best, because there's a wide array of burgers, and they can range from $38 to $5. And obviously there's a burger for everybody's palate and then everybody's wallet. So I would say some of the best burgers to try right now is Emily out in Brooklyn. Bowery Meat Company has a fantastic burger. Beatrice Inn, if you've got a couple extra dollars and you really want to splurge, they're doing a 45-day dry-aged burger that has probably some of the most flavor that I've had out there. And at $38, may or may not be for everybody. And then I will also say, go find Hard Time Sunday's food truck out in Brooklyn, and you will enjoy one of the best roadside burgers you can get. Guy's absolutely killing it out of his truck. He was just at the Feast of San Gennaro last week, if anybody had a chance to enjoy one of his burgers. And there you can enjoy a burger for under
$10. Wow, that's really great to know.
I have my checklist coming up.
Speaking of burgers that are like $10 and below, we have some specials that we love. There's one place from The Lion, which is in New York City. They do a great lunch deal.
Yeah.
That runs about $10, and you get fries.
Well, actually,
that's
not a lunch. That's a happy hour.
Happy hour, yeah. Judge Roy Bean does the other one for $10. And then The Late Late, which we had just about 2 weeks ago, is a great little Irish pub that has a...
That was a great deal.
You
don't have to spend a ton of money for a great burger in New York City. Black Tap is also doing a great burger that's reasonably priced. But I would say anybody who wants a really upscale burger... that's probably would be in the $30 range. The Lion in the Village right now is offering their burger from 5 to 7 on Monday through Friday for $10 with fries. It's an absolute steal.
That's an awesome deal.
Yeah, it is.
Especially
it's
the
Lion.
It's
an aged beef burger topped with pork belly. You're not going to get better for that money.
We like to
pork
say you can't
yum,
even find
my
a pork
favorite.
Belly appetizer for under $7. So.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hopefully they'll keep that on the menu for a while.
Right. Now, so you guys have one of the most unusual burgers that you've eaten that you could share that was, like, surprisingly delicious?
You know, we don't typically go for these outrageous, crazy burgers. We had a great burger last night that is actually, a takeoff of buffalo wings. It had wing sauce and blue cheese with a celery carrot slaw that I really enjoyed. But, yeah, I I typically don't go too far out on the edge where I'm looking for something just so outrageous, because we're looking for something that you'd want to eat every week. I'm looking for that burger that when I have it the next morning, I want to have it again. And I don't find
right.
I get that from the outrageousness. I think a lot of that stuff is just for the shock value of Instagram or Facebook or wherever you're posting these pictures. And they'll get a lot of likes. I'll look at some of the most outrageous burgers that will get a ton of likes versus if I post a picture of the Peter Luger burger or a Minetta Tavern burger that's absolutely in a class of their own, they'll get a fraction of the likes because they're just very simple-looking burgers.
Right. And, you know, sometimes just staying with the basics, as long as the meat is really good, like you're saying the dry-aged
mm-hmm.
burger, I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, you don't want
to
mask that flavor. You know, and that's when we get into a debate whether or not ketchup should be on a burger or it shouldn't. There's no right or wrong answer. But in my opinion, if you're using aged beef, keep the ketchup off of it. If you're using an 80-20 chuck, fine. Add some ketchup, add some sauce. But if you're spending the extra money to go after a quality aged beef burger, you don't want to mess that flavor.
So, Mike, we just had another question come in.
Sure.
This is from Sam from Brooklyn. He said, you guys are out there living the life, eating burgers and drinking frequently. I think everybody would like to know, how do you stay in shape? And do you have a workout schedule to follow?
we do. It's becoming, you know, more difficult to stay in shape. It's not easy. Yeah, work out regularly. You know, it's also in moderation. You know, people are seeing the burger I'm eating. Nobody's seeing the bowl of plain oatmeal I'm having for breakfast. Or the salad I'm having for lunch. Tappy does a lot of juicing. He has
green
juice
every
day.
My green drink doesn't photograph as well, even if I bring it outside. So that doesn't excite people. But, you know, we all try to do something. You know, I've done the Empire State Building run up the last 5 years. So I try to get in at least 100 flights of stairs every morning before we go out.
If you're not working out regular, we don't, you know, we don't expect people to eat burgers every single day and drink bourbon every day.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay, we have another question coming in. This is from Michael, and he wanted to know. Sorry?
I said that's a good name.
Yeah. He wanted to know, do you find yourself getting invited to less barbecues because people were afraid of you critiquing their burgers, or did you find yourself invited to more barbecues because your friends wanted to show off their burger skills?
That's a great question. It's the latter. Yeah, people want to see us behind the grill, and they want to see what we can create and what you're going to make. And then I feel like that puts pressure on me because the reality is I'm not a chef. I like to eat. I know it tastes good. We all know it tastes good. But we picked up a couple of pointers over the years, and I think I can make a pretty good burger. I've posted a couple of the ones I've made on my own at home, and they've done pretty well.
But we do get that often where, you know, we show up somewhere and they're like, guess what, we made you a homemade burger. We knew you wanted it. I'm like, man, the last thing I wanted to eat today was another burger.
So, George, where would you say the culinary trend for burgers are heading?
Well, I have to be honest, I'm amazed by every single day. It seems like another big name, fancy restaurant of some sort is coming out with a burger. So I see it, you know, it hasn't peaked yet. You know, every day people keep saying to us, oh, well, you're in New York, you know, at some point you're going to run out of good burgers to try. And
nope.
We get 10 emails a day. Hey, here's our new burger. Take a look. We want you to come in. So.
I think a great example is Mark Forgione, who has his own restaurant, Forgione, who is an Iron Chef. Everybody knows what Iron Chefs do.
Yes.
At his American Cut restaurant, he just debuted a kind of off-the-menu burger. And, you know, there's a guy making chili lobster and great dishes now crafting this burger. So there's a lot of places you can go with a burger. Every local tavern and bar has a burger, some better than others, right up to upscale restaurants. And then there are solely burger joints out there, restaurants that are in business just to serve different burgers. So it's like a game of whack-a-mole. You can keep hitting them, they're going to keep popping up. And the game is getting more competitive, which is great.
That's awesome. I think it's great, too. And I really, now between the burgers and the bacon trend that's going on, I could see that just keep growing.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
awesome.
Listen, years ago, you griddled some bacon and you threw it on a cheeseburger, and that was great. Now you've got chefs like Josh Capon now, you know, he kind of invented bacon jam, cooking down bacon and onions and letting, you know, turning it into this jammy, syrupy spread to put on a burger. The game is always changing and elevating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I look at the burger that Pizza Loves Emily created in Brooklyn, I am amazed at just the diverse flavors and the creation that they put together that just works perfect. When you think about an aged beef burger with this strong cheese, they use this Korean wing sauce that they almost made by accident, and it just worked absolutely perfect on there.
Yeah, you're making this sound so good, this Emily, since you keep mentioning. We may have some
plans to come take a trip.
I would say go early because I think they only do about, what, Tappy, 30 burgers or so a day?
They do 25, but for MJ and Gina, we'll do our first boy and girl trip. And
we'll go
and
out
we'll
there
get
with
them
you,
and
make
we'll,
sure.
We'll go there with you and meet.
I love it.
You know, we're going to hold
it. And save room for their pizzas. Yeah. Their pizzas are absolutely fantastic.
Their pizzas are great, and also
go hungry. Let's just say
banana pudding jar that is fantastic.
I'll be running. I think we'll need to run to Brooklyn and then have to run back home afterwards.
Yeah, what time are we wrapping up here? We'll meet you there. We could be there in about 40 minutes.
Excellent.
Awesome. Actually, and I just want to remind all of our listeners, too, to make sure that everyone, if you're not already following Gotham Burger Social Club, to find them on Facebook and Instagram at Gotham Burger Social Club and on Twitter at Gotham Burger SC.
Yes.
So, guys, outside of burgers, what is your favorite restaurant in New York City?
Ooh, that's tough. I think my favorite dining experience and restaurant is Del Posto.
Del Posto.
Yeah.
Excellent choice. Love Del Posto.
Yeah, from soup to nuts, that place is just fantastic. Batali certainly knows what he's doing. And I'm a big Batali fan, so, I mean, if you ask me about Babo or any of them, big fans of all of his restaurants. But, yeah, if I had to have one last meal, it's going to be at Del Posto.
Nice.
And I'm an old-school Brooklyn boy originally, so I'm going to pick a place. We were just speaking about it yesterday called Ortobello, and it is a little hole in the wall, and if someone didn't recommend it, you would have never gone into it, but it's the best linguine and clams I've ever had, great deal Parmesan, and it's on, like, Bay Parkway somewhere in Gravesend, Brooklyn.
Oh, my God. I grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in Diker Heights. So I think
yeah,
when well, I go
I grew
visit
up
mom,
on...
love it.
I was
rough?
Just playing stickball on Diker Heights 2 weeks ago.
That's so funny. I was just there at the park on Sunday. Oh, that's awesome. So, Mike, you mentioned something about ballroom dancing today on one of your tweets. What is that all
that
about?
Was,
that was actually
was
me messing
ballroom
around.
Ballroom dancing, messing around. I haven't ballroom danced since I got married. And we took a couple of lessons, and it didn't end well, and I've never been back.
Oh, so you're doing Zumba?
At 6'3", 230 pounds, I'm not that light on my feet.
Okay. So what's next for the Gotham Burger Social Club?
We're looking forward to a couple of food festivals coming up. We've got the Greenwich Food and Wine Festival this weekend. There'll be a big burger bash there. And then the one that everybody is looking forward to, the New York City Wine and Food Festival, that'll be obviously a great, great time.
And we
awesome.
Actually have our own two-year anniversary coming up in a few weeks. So.
Yes, we'll be celebrating with one of our favorite burger joints, Black Tap, which is down in Soho. They're going to be opening up a new location on 14th Street. So we're hoping to break that in about a week or two, celebrate our two-year anniversary.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a fun year.
It really has. You guys are busy.
We have another question from Josh wanting to know, have you burgered at Robert Bar on Bond Street in Borum Hill?
I have not. Have you had that one, Taffy?
I have not. That's why this is why the burger world is so great. Never even heard of it.
Yeah, I'll have to forward you. He sent a link. And
yeah,
brand
please
new
send that over. I would love to take a look at that. And last night, we're in Long Island City. Somebody found us on Facebook. The chef had said, hey, listen, somebody kept telling me that I got to get the Gotham Burger Social Club in here to try my burgers. And it just so happened we were going to be in Williamsburg for an event. So we stopped by. We tried four of their burgers and absolutely loved it. So we're always looking for new places. Yeah, there's a lot of places tucked in that just fall under the radar. So it's great when people bring them to our attention, and we'll try and get to all of them.
And what's the best way, if somebody, if one of our listeners is a chef or something like that, what's the best way for them to reach out to you? Tweet at you, post?
One of any ways. Yeah, they could tweet. They can, you know, DM us on Instagram. Our email address is on our Instagram page, GothamBurgerSocialClub@gmail.com. Feel free to, you know, send an email.
Excellent.
Sometimes when we have a post that goes out and you get so many likes, it kind of gets lost.
Yeah, the worst thing, yeah, is if you write something, you know, a lot of times on your phone at least, I only see 95 of the last posts. So that can get lost very, very quickly when people do that. So the best thing is either an email, DM. You know, you can write on there. I always try and address people that write on the post, but they can get lost if I'm not looking for it.
What is your most liked post? Which burger got the most likes? Do you recall? Is there like one or two that like you had a ridiculous amount of likes on?
Our most liked burger is the Emily Burger.
Really?
The Emily Burger, backed by one that I made at home using a product called Bacon Jam that was sent to me. That's gotten a lot of likes. So, yep, those are...
And Hard Time Sundays from the
Hard Time Sundays. Yeah, these are ones that are approaching a couple of thousand likes.
Wow.
1,700. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Some of them, we wrote a negative, kind of, not a negative, but... a review that we just didn't think this burger was all that great. And we didn't get the whole fanfare and allure over it. And it got a ton of likes. You know, a lot of times people don't read the post. Or they're liking it because maybe they're agreeing with what we wrote. But you could have a great-looking burger that just photographs well. It could be dry. It could taste like garbage. You just didn't like it versus something that really is great. I mean, I can't say it enough. If you go and, you know, do an image search on the Black Label at Minetta Tavern, you're not going to find one burger that looks great. It's just not a burger that photographs well. But there's a burger that literally changed the burger game. They were the first ones to introduce a dry-aged burger on the menu and kept it very simple. They use a great brioche bun, which is very difficult. I find a lot of brioche buns get very dry. And the quality of the meat is absolutely fantastic, and they top it nothing more than caramelized onions. But the flavor, you constantly, it stays with you, and you just crave another bite of it.
Wow. So let's talk about your reality show. Do you see one in your future?
We were approached by a production company, and we'll see where that goes. If people want to see us on screen, hopefully somebody will pick up on it and say, oh, you know what, this is kind of an interesting idea. Maybe either do something in the city or go from city to city, finding great burgers, great cocktails, pairing them up, and doing exactly basically what we're doing. I would only do a show like that if it was natural and kind of fit with what we're doing. I wouldn't want to do anything that was really scripted or foreign to what we do.
That's a good answer for sure. So since food is such
but
a
I know,
hot
I know that I know the shows that I enjoy watching are the ones where, you know, people travel around from city to city. And, you know, people plan vacations that way. You know, they look and say, oh, I want to go there and I want to eat at these places, stay at that place, go to these bars. And, yeah, those are the shows that I would enjoy doing.
That's what I did in Chicago.
I was just going to say,
I ate my way through Chicago.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I'm guilty of that. I am.
Absolutely. What we all do.
Did you have the Acheville burger?
No, I did not. I was on more of a steak kick. You know, I've heard Chicago has great steakhouses, so like Gibson's and like a few of the trendy
Gina
restaurants.
Gina Giorgetti's.
The Purple Pig.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to try and get to Chicago and do a little guy's weekend out there and hit a couple of places soon.
Oh, it's
awesome.
Fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, we did Philly this year, went down, got an invite from Tony Luke, who has just unbelievable sandwiches down there. The roast pork Italian, his cheesesteaks are absolutely fantastic. Met with him for an afternoon and then had a couple of burgers out in Philly. So we enjoy traveling. It's always nice to meet new people and find great places to eat.
Absolutely.
And I go to Kentucky every year.
Oh, yeah, and Kentucky's a yearly trip.
Okay.
Do you actually eat burgers out there, or is it more Derby?
We're always now Derby gets too crowded. One thing the Gotham Burger Social Club doesn't like is a lot of crowds. So we go during the kickoff of race season. So we do hit the races. We go to Keeneland. But yeah, we had a great burger out there at a place called the Holy Grail that was absolutely lights out. If it was in New York City, it would be one of my favorite burgers. But obviously, since we like a lot of bourbon, bourbon's made in Kentucky, we had a bunch of distilleries out there. We get on the bourbon trail. And there's also just great bourbon bars out there. You know, you find bourbons you can't find other places. So that's always a treat. That's a nice visit.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I know you guys are bourbon aficionados. What are your favorite bourbons to drink?
Well, I'll let Tappy take that one. I've got, I mean, a couple. The problem is the more you talk about the ones you love, the harder they are to find. For me, I like the Weller 12-year. I like Four Roses Single Barrel. I don't even want to talk about the Pappies because it's just ridiculous to talk about them. You can't find them, and when you find them, they're just so overpriced. My opinion is nobody should be drinking them.
My favorite bourbon family is probably the Willett family. And when, you know, Puma and I, we go to their distillery every year, and we're able to grab a couple of bottles from there, but you could find it locally here if you hunt it down. But there's so many great things, but stuff that I could tell you that you could find. Michter's has a great barrel strength rye right now that, you know, for $50 you can have a great bottle and not have to go around hunting everywhere for it. There's Old Scout. There's so many great things that people could just take and have that and make it be your everyday bourbon and not have to go crazy, you know, in the whole Pappy world and stuff. But
one thing,
George T. Stagg is my favorite.
One thing we do with our bourbon, and Tappy certainly does, he drinks it. We see nothing irks me more than when I see a post of somebody who has a great bourbon collection and they've got, you know, 6-7 bottles of the same bourbon stacked behind each other. They're not drinking them. They're saving them, trying to sell them. You know, buy them and drink them and enjoy them.
Right, enjoy them.
Absolutely.
I don't get people who just collect them just for the sake of having them, putting them on the shelf to look pretty.
I luckily have about 100 bottles of bourbon open in my kitchen at the moment.
And nothing's off limits.
Now we know
that's
what
all
it all is.
Yeah, no. This,
I thought that's where
true.
The party was tonight, your kitchen.
That's right.
Oh, boy. So here's another question. So food is such a hot trend these days. Is there any advice that you can give to the novice chefs trying to break into the business?
Don't take little things for granted. Like, you know, just to give you an example on burgers, the bun. People either overthink the bun or they're not thinking enough. Sometimes simple is just better. You know, I always tell people, when in doubt, a simple plain Martin's potato roll works every time. You know, people want to get fancy. Pretzel rolls can be very dicey. I've only had 2 pretzel rolls, one from Tomcat Bakery, one from Pretzilla, that I actually liked. The rest of them I find horrible, intrusive. They get dry. They take over the burger. You know, for chefs starting in the business, you know, engage with people on social media. You know, I notice that's a big trend right now, and inviting people in and making it kind of a personable experience. But at the end of the day, the food's got to speak for itself. You know, you'll get people in there once or twice, but if the food's not consistent and if it's not good, it's going to fade away. You know, you want to have dishes, in my opinion, that people remember and say, I want to go back there for that. You know, there's a pork dish at Beatrice Inn that Chef Angie Marr makes that they wanted to change the menu, and people literally revolted. Like, you have to keep that on there. And it is an amazing dish. I think of it every time I think of that restaurant, and it's one of the things I order every time I go there. So you want to have kind of a signature couple of dishes that people are always going to remember, and, you know, regardless of what other specials or what's in season, they know they can get that dish there.
That's awesome.
And if I could recommend anything to – I'm sorry?
I know some of these chefs say, like, they overthink it and they're trying to fancy things up and they're trying to add all these different ingredients, and then sometimes it just takes away from the natural flavor. So the simple dishes are the best staples for a restaurant. I'm sorry, George.
Well, I'll just say, there's one thing that was brought up a few weeks ago, and I was speaking to a bar owner. You know, it's something similar to, you know, a novice bar owner. And I said to him, I said, you may want to consider changing your lighting on your bar I'm like, first of all, you can't read your labels of what's actually there if you stand far back. But also the light that you're using is heating up your bottles. So for people that, especially when you're in a whiskey bar, some people don't use ice, such as myself, and they're literally handing you a glass of warm whiskey, and it just it changes your whole opinion of, hey, that they have a great selection, but I would never go back there for a drink. So something right. you might want to consider, just the little things. And, you know, he thought I owned a bar. I said, no, we just frequent them often.
Yeah, we support them.
And you know what makes me crazy? I'm just going to share this. When you go to a bar and the bottles are all dusty, so not only yeah. glasses are warm, then the bottles are warm and dusty.
Yeah,
so, there you go.
If the bottles are dusty, how dirty is your kitchen? That's how I look at it.
Exactly.
You guys have so much, I feel like you guys have had so much knowledge with anything related to hospitality. You guys should start your own restaurant. I mean, it's like I'm thinking of that John Tapper show, Bar Rescue, where he goes in and he kind of like redirects everyone. You guys should look into that.
I don't know if we'll be rolling out plans and say, all right, let's move the bar here and do that. I've lived in the city now for almost 25 years and have, you know, been fortunate enough to eat a lot of restaurants and meet a lot of chefs over the years. So, you know, like anything, practice makes perfect, I guess. You know, you do it enough, you just pick up on things, you know what you like, you know what kind of works, you know what doesn't work. But the restaurant business in Manhattan is tough, too. I've seen some great, great restaurants come and go. And to say what they did wrong, I don't know. You know, it breaks my heart. There was a restaurant down on 13th and 6th, between 6th and 7th, called Gonzo's. Years ago, they had one of the greatest items I've ever had. It was a pumpkin pizza, this grilled pizza with pumpkin, pancetta, caramelized onions. I'd run there right now for it. And, you know, some restaurants make it, some don't. And it's unfortunate. And I see some restaurants that I think are absolute garbage, maybe because of the name of the chef or the owners. You know, they pack people in there. And
right.
I don't get it. You know, I just don't get it. You know, some places they allure celebrities in there and they feed them for free and overcharge everybody else, and these places continue to thrive. But I don't get it.
As far as a burger place, I always tell Puma, my goal is we're going to have a Gotham Burger Social Club burger restaurant of some sort, and once a week we're going to play in our own band, we're going to wear our suits, and we're going to sing TV show theme songs. And
big on TV show
along.
Theme songs, yep.
We're big.
Church songs, TV show songs.
Yeah,
when the drinks start flowing, we may or may not
start
to sing. It happens.
And don't forget, we can do the ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
And I always could do
there
it.
There you go.
You just don't want me
we'll
stepping on
it.
Your feet. Just be careful. But, you know, my feel is I like being on the other side of the table, the other side of the bar. I don't know if, you know, getting behind the other side is what I would really appreciate doing.
Yeah, I don't think owning a restaurant is as sexy as people think it really is. I have several friends here in the city, and also there's restaurants that we represent, and I just see the internal struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're doing the right thing for sure. But I have to ask you about the blue chip burger, for obvious reasons,
yes,
Mike.
Yes, absolutely.
There was big fun having you guys over at Ben & Jack Steakhouse, and of course, Master Purveyors, who is their meat purveyor. Tell us how you really feel about the blue chip burger. It's still on their menu at Ben & Jack.
Absolutely
and
love that burger. And I love how we did two tastings of it. And when chefs take, you know, criticism well, because some chefs
yes.
don't. You know, they have their vision, and they think this is what works. And the first one was good. We thought it could be better. He changed a couple of things, and we thought it was great the second time. The bacon, the blue cheese, like those are things that I love those flavors on an aged patty. Master Purveyor is one of the best in the business at providing aged beef. That is a burger that I absolutely loved.
Oh, that's
and
so awesome.
And it was like, you know, it's a quintessential steakhouse burger. You know, when you think of a steakhouse, you think of like a blue cheese wedge. You think of thick cut bacon on the side. You think of having that aged steak. Put them all together on a bun. It was great.
And again, it says so much about you guys because Chef Admir, he took it as professional criticism, and that's why the second time he wanted to have you back in. I know you suggested Mike could change the roll, which you were mentioning before.
Yeah.
You know, I think he changed to a potato bun or maybe the pretzel.
Yeah, he went pretzel.
Mentioned.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and
which,
I mean,
which was awesome.
It. Nobody ever wants. You know, you have to approach it not from a sarcastic or hateful place. You're coming from a place where you want to help the chef. They were nice enough to bring you in, to talk to you about it, to take time to create this, to feed you. You know, that's a big thing. You're feeding somebody. That comes from the heart. You don't want to just nod and say, oh, yeah, that was great, great, great job. See you later and move on. You're there to help people. I want to see every restaurant that we go to succeed and thrive and give them criticism that I think is really going to help them.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
We love Chef Amir, and we also, you know, the owners of Ben & Jack's, and, you know, they gave
they're
us the
great.
Best hospitality.
And also, forget about the burgers.
They came out to one of our events, and, you know, they're great people.
Forget about the burgers. They've got great steaks, too. It's a great steakhouse.
Oh, awesome.
I would eat there
anytime. I mean, I'm partial because they are one of my dear clients, but they truly are a great steakhouse.
They are.
Thank you for mentioning that.
They're not, you know, this corporate entity. These are, you know, people, you know, working, trying to make a great product for everybody.
Absolutely. And their family history is just incredible, the amount of steakhouses that they've opened. But our very last question.
Which so wait, before we get off the subject, when are we going there again to
yes.
eat?
Whenever you would like.
All right.
You know where to find
me. We have to
right?
set that up. Let's
and
not
you.
Forget that. So you
yes,
have one more question.
Okay. So our last question, because I know we've taken a lot of your time. We know how much you guys are big foodies, and we also know that you're very big in philanthropy and giving back. Any favorite charities you guys like to support?
We're big pet lovers. I'm a big fan of adoption. We did an event a few months back with Andrew of Hard Time Sundays, the burger truck we talked about earlier, at New York Distillery, and we raised about $2,500 for New York Bully Pit Crew. And they rescue pit bulls all over and find foster homes and adoption families. And that's what I love doing. Animals have always had a part in my heart. So I love teaming up with them and trying to find ways to raise the money because that's not an easy job to do.
No, absolutely.
And the other stuff
no,
that I'm involved with, I've been with the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation for the MMRF for about 7 years now on their events committee. So
wow.
That's why I actually run up the Empire State Building and I raise money for them for that. I probably would have only run that race once if it wasn't for charity because it's brutal. But it really
our event, what I did was much easier. We just had to eat burgers. I didn't have to
yeah,
run.
Yeah, we ate burgers and drank bourbon. It was awesome.
But
for mine, I'm running and jumping. And
anyone listening to this
day.
That, you know, has an idea, if it's something that's to our heart, I mean, we worked with Schweig & Sons, who had donated all the beef, Andrew from Hard Times Sundays. We gave away over 200 free burgers that day to the first people that came, and all we asked was a donation. So everybody
oh,
that came
awesome.
Was able to eat for free, and I'll tell you that people donated a lot more than they probably would have spent buying the burger. We had raffles of bourbon, wine, Barrel House bourbon, Notorious Pink, and New York Distillery all gave away free bottles of wine for a raffle. And it was a great cause. You know, I see those dogs on Instagram every day, and I wish I could, you know, take them all home. But I know somebody's got a job to do, and it costs money to house them. It costs money to feed them. So we love doing these type of events. So anybody that's out there interested in, you know, having us support them, try and team up, I'm always interested in talking to people.
That's awesome. You know, we produce a lot of the athletes we work for, we do a lot of their events in them, their charity events. So we'll definitely keep you guys in mind for that.
Do a burger benefit.
We could do a burger benefit, but we do a lot of golf tournaments and a lot of bowling events, networking events and galas and stuff. And
We'd love to be, you know, an honor to be a part of that.
Golf, we don't get too excited over, but bowling and drinking
golf, we can
and eating burger event.
Oh, golf. Not well
at
it.
Golf, guys. It's all fun.
I can keep up. Might be able to break 100 on a good day, but not a strong
so
suit,
Mike,
golf.
Mike and George, it is time that we have to wrap up the show, but we want to thank you both so much for joining us today. It was such
our
a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much, Gina and MJ, for having us. Anytime you want, just let us know.
And for our listeners, be sure to follow Gothenburg Social Club on their social media.
Yes, at Facebook and Instagram, you can just search them for Gothenburg Social Club, and Twitter, Gothenburger SC. And I don't know about you guys, but I think I'm going to have a burger tonight for dinner because all the burger talk is making me
awesome. Don't forget to take a picture of it.
Of course. I tag you in it. And use natural lighting.
Perfect.
Thank you to all the listeners.
A pleasure.
For tuning in today. Be sure to check out Live with MJ Facebook and Twitter accounts to get updates on our upcoming shows. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys. Talk to you soon.
You too. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.